Golf Smarter number 655. Your instincts will never let you putt too far. With Putting Zone instructor Henrik Jentsch.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Henrik.
Hi, Fred.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been working hard today.
Well, and we're on opposite sides of the planet right now. You're actually in Germany, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Been here for 40 years.
You've been in Germany for 40 years, so then you're not originally from Germany.
I got born in Denmark.
In Denmark. And what brought you to Germany?
Oh, I was a professional tennis player, and I run out of money, and then I look for opportunities to teach tennis at that time. And it was just the idea to do it for the winter and then make money enough to go out and play again. But then suddenly you have money in your pocket, and then you kind of stayed on teaching because you made money. And then I just played for different teams in Germany.
Okay, so you're still playing competitively, but it's...
not tennis. Tennis is not competitive anymore. I'm too old. And then afterwards when I got old, I got 28, and then I started playing golf.
Oh, how did you discover golf? And what was the key for you to discover golf?
I broke the ligament in my knee by skiing on my right knee. So I couldn't play tennis, really competitive tennis anymore. So I had to look for an easier game, you know, as tennis. And then I picked up golf.
And you thought golf was going to be an easier game? Easier on your knee. Definitely easier on your knee.
Definitely easy on the knee, yes. It was a right one. That was okay because when you turn up, you turn up on your right leg and then you release it. If it be the left knee, I think it's a problem what Tiger Woods had. He had a problem with the left knee. And then it's difficult because you have to put the power over on the left side and you then have a problem with the left knee, I think. Right knee is okay.
Mm-hmm. So when you first started playing golf, and when you were in your 20s, late 20s, did you find it to be easy and that... Or that you were just and you were very good at it, or did you struggle like the rest of us?
No, I think the difference is if you would ask good tennis players or very good athletes, they can pick it up pretty easy to a certain level, depends how much time they spend on it afterwards, because they know how to pick up. If a teacher tells you do this, then they can do it. That's why they're good in the sport they did before. Mm-hmm. So It was not that difficult because it kind of almost, for me, it feels like playing tennis, just dropping the club. And then it's like playing tennis. After 3 years, I was a +2 handicap.
Wow.
And then, yes.
You must have spectacular hand-eye coordination.
Yes, but like I said, that comes from tennis. Huh?
Yeah.
I was 526 ATP tennis. And then
in the world.
So, yes. And then after 3 years, I was a +2, and then I teach a few more. Then well, so before I then tried to play golf on the European Challenge Tour. I played there about 5 or 6 years and played the Sunshine Tour, but I just didn't have any money, so it was kind of hand to mouth all the time, you know. But it was fun to see the world.
Yeah, well, and there must be a lesson in there somewhere for people who are like, I'm going to be a competitive athlete and make a living at this for the rest of my life. And it's like, it's not so easy, is it?
No, I mean, I always make the joke if people says golf is not easy. I says be a professional golfer is not easy. I said, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is easy. You just have to play well.
And that's the secret to all of it. Just have to play well and everything is easy.
Exactly.
And you're in Germany, and I'm just curious, how did you discover the Golf Smarter podcast? Because you reached out to me.
Yeah, I was working with, I'm still working with Jeff Mangum from the Putting Zone.
Okay.
And when he made the first episode, it was about 2006 or something like that, the first one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he showed me them, and since then I've been listening to the podcast all the time.
Wow, you've been listening a long time. Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And it's a testimony to podcasting that You've been listening this long, and I never got a chance to meet you. It's a shame when we played in Prague that you didn't join us. That was many years ago.
Yes, if I knew that. But you can still come over to Germany, you know.
Okay.
There's a lot of good golf courses in the area where I live. I live close to Basel, Switzerland. Uh-huh. It's just in the corner. It's Germany, France, and Switzerland. You can drive with a car in 5 minutes to all those three countries.
Wow. But you're not playing 12 months a year.
No, but I just took up a new job at Golf du Rhin. It's on the island between France and Germany. Mm-hmm. And actually, we can play there, if we're lucky, 12 months. But most of the time, we can play about 10 or 11 months. We can still play on summer greens. Because it's interesting on that island, it's 4 to 6 degrees warmer as right and left, because there's the old Rhine and the new Rhine is running past this island. So it's warmer there, and we can play most of the time.
Well, I'm just baffled by the concept of an island between France and Germany. I didn't realize there was that significant a body of water in between the two countries, that there's islands as well.
No, it's like you have the old Rhine, uh-huh. Rhine River.
Right.
And then you have the new Rhine River. The new Rhine River is a machine-made one where the boats from Rotterdam, or no, from Amsterdam, goes to Basel and to deliver goods, you know. So they're going in a they call the new Rhine, and then you have the old part of the Rhine that goes on the other side. So that's why there is that little island in between those two Rhine River.
Interesting. I didn't realize we're going to get geography lesson today too.
No. and in the middle there we have this amazing golf course called Golf du Rhin. It's a fantastic golf course.
And your English is fantastic.
For me, one of the best.
I want to tell you, your English is fantastic. Thank you very much for allowing me not to speak German to you.
We can try.
No. I don't want to try. No. I promise your English is so much better than my German, because basically my German doesn't exist. So let's talk about golf instruction. How long have you been teaching golf now?
It's almost 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. And what is the connection with Jeff Mangum from the Putting Zone?
I was never a good putter at the beginning when I played on the tour, and I then was looking around, and I went to this European teaching congress in Germany, and Jeff was there also. He was doing a lecture, talking to 1,000 professionals, and we then talked there, and then I kind of got in touch with him, and then we start to do some clinics here together in Germany and all this. And I believe he's the most knowledgeable person in the world about putting, because it's not only the stroke, it's also the mental part of it, how to make distance control, how is the eye seeing, how is the brain working to distance control and all this. And so it's his system, but it's not so easy to understand it. You have to have time and sit and believe and try out. And it's not like you try it out and it works tomorrow. It's a long ongoing process to be able to actually do the putting zone concept, I see.
And I have found that with Jeff, that it's very technical, very detailed, and it makes complete sense that you say it takes a lot of time and effort to really understand his methods, but they're effective.
Yeah, if you trust it, I mean, it's like the distance control. Gravity take over, the ball will go a certain distance. If you do the same again, the ball will go the same distance. And if you then turn your neck to the ball, the mind will take over and say, okay, this is the speed of the green today. So if you know the green speed of every, because every course what we amateurs plays are always different green speeds. The professional will have almost the same green speed. So then you know the green speed specifically for this golf course. And if you then have to hit a longer putt, you turn your head And the mind will say, okay, you turned the head more, so just take the club a little further back, and you will then get the perfect distance.
You know,
that's how easy it actually is, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated because you're right. As amateurs, we play different courses that have a range of green speeds, and the pros have it easy because their green speeds are fairly consistent. I've noticed that that's a problem for me, is that when I play a course that is a different green speed than what I'm used to, it takes me 17 and a half holes to get accustomed to the speed.
But that's because you didn't equilibrate yourself to the green speed before you got on the golf course. If you go to the golf course, and also what happened most of the time, people drive to the golf course, and that's stress because you have to drive. And you get to the golf course, and then you hit some balls, and you go to the tee, and you go, how are we playing today? So you're not coming down and being ready, you know. So what you always should do is go on the putting green and hit three putts without looking where they're going, and then turn your head. And if you did it right, you will get the same distance every time, because we're doing it 2-1. It's like two back and 1-2 the whole stroke. So in that way, you're getting down, you're getting a good feeling, and afterwards, when you have this timing and rhythm in your swing, you can then go to the driving head some shots because you have timing and rhythm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to know about it, like I says, give me a call or give Jeff a call, and he will explain exactly how it works. And it's so easy. I haven't had a three putt in a tournament for about 7 years.
Oh my gosh, because that's spectacular.
And because I'm saying is a three putt is lack of knowledge.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look
at
it.
If you know, exactly, if you know what to do, you will never three putt. But if you don't know what to do, you will three putt. Because sometimes you hit harder, you hit it softer.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it feels like it's so obvious, but yet you're right. It's lack of knowledge. But let's talk about one of the things that you've said already that intrigues me, and I know that this is an issue for me, is when I'm putting, my head tends to follow the ball. And I have more success when I keep my head still and looking at the spot where the ball was and then wait a beat or two and then look over to where the ball is. Am I right about this? Is that by moving my head with the ball, I'm lifting my head too soon?
What I'm more says, you're allowed to look at where the ball are going if you know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem what happened is most of the time you have to put over your head 90 degrees and you're turning your head like an apple on a stick. Mm-hmm. So that means your body is quiet, is not moving. But you turn it like an apple on a stick, then you can look after the ball. But if you're standing more with the head up and you then turn, because then you turn the whole body, and then it's no good.
Oh. Oh, the apple on the stick. I like that image.
Yes, because then the eye will then, and that's also what we're doing on the putting zone, is because some people, like one of the podcasts a few weeks ago, O'Brien, he says there's a mist, the eyes over the ball. And I say that's not right, because what we do is we're putting the eyes over the ball and we put the head 90 degree to the ball, not like you're putting the eyes down to the ball. You kind of put the head 90 degree. And if you now turn your head, your eye line will then run straight over the grass exactly where you want to hit the ball every time. See what I mean? So if you put a laser on your ear and put it down 90 degree, and you now turn your head, that laser will run exactly where you're looking.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then
what we're using is the eye.
So you're using, like, you can close, if you're right-handed, you close your left eye, and you then have the nose and the eyebrow that makes like a V. And if you then turn your left eye and you go 90 degrees over the ball and you turn the head, what comes out at that V between the nose and the eyebrow, this is where you're aiming your putter.
Yay. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm getting better already.
And if you listen to the other ones you already had with Jeff, you would then actually hear that's what he told in some of them, on some of his podcasts. But you didn't see the connection at that time, you know?
Right, right. Now, Jeff's been on many times. And he confuses me every
time.
Exactly,
and that's also when and Jeff comes and we do clinics and I'm working with him or he do the clinic, I'm there. I learn something every time. And the same happened when I have good players coming to clinics all the time. And every time they say, oh, now I understand that better. So like every time you get like a little stone on top of it, you're kind of building the building.
Right, right. Oh, this is fascinating. I want to see if we can get some more drills. I want to take a short break right now for one of, hopefully, pre-recorded commercials. So you may hear it in your region and you may not, but we'll be right back. All right, Henrik, thank you again for joining me. Let's talk about different putting drills. For when we first arrive at a golf course, whether it's a course we're familiar with or it's a course that we've never played before, what are the drills that you do to help you get familiar with the putting greens that you're going to have to deal with that day?
The first thing you do is you go on the green with three balls, and you then stand over the ball and you make you take the club back the farthest you can without any force. So that means if you stand over with the putter in your hand and you then put down your left shoulder and you take back the putter, there's a certain point where you can't go any further without you have to put pressure to get up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
All the other ones goes loose easily. And then you just swing the putter back and the ball goes a certain distance. So I ask my students, if I do this, how far do the ball goes? They say, I don't know. I says, okay, then we do it one more time. So if I do the same again, what will happen? The ball will go the same distance. So you do the same again, swing the putter, ball goes the same distance. And you do the third ball, you do the same distance. And now you turn your head, and then you know this is the green speed of the day. And how long are you going to do it? I need about 2 or 3 minutes, then I'm okay. If you just start with it, you may need 5 minutes, but you do it as long as you have the feeling now I can hit it the same distance every time. Or every time I do the same stroke, the ball stands in the same place. Then you turn your neck, the brain gets information, this is the green speed of the day.
So correct me if I'm wrong.
So that's the first.
If you disagree with this one, I think this came from Zen Putting, from Dr. Joseph Parent. I use this as like my own personal stimp meter. And what I'll do is I'll take three swings without looking at the ball, following the ball. And my normal swing, and then I'll count it out. Sometimes on some courses, it's 4 steps. Sometimes it's 6 steps. But once I realize...
Don't put numbers.
Say again.
Don't push numbers. Don't put numbers. The brain don't need numbers. People are Excel specialists, and we have systems. Don't do that. The brain knows exactly. You turn the head, the brain knows that's a distance. And then you just... then you know the green speed. The brain knows that. They don't need any numbers. I have a lot of times when I do clinics, it's, oh, now I go. I said, don't do steps. Brains don't need. If you want to do it, you can do it, but the brain don't care about it.
Oh, Henrik, you said you've been listening to the podcast for a while. You know that my brain doesn't work that way.
If you're not, you will be dead because you will go down the stairs and you will fall over and hurt yourself.
So what?
Because that's the first that's the first thing you do.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The second thing you do is when you now have the green speed, you will then take a target about, I will put meters because we do meters in Europe, so 15 meters away. You put down a ball, and now when you know the green speed, you turn your head to the target, you go back, and you take the putter back, and you make the stroke, and no human being is able to putt the ball too long. The reason is, and then a person comes up and says, oh, I show you. And he hits it too long. I says, yeah, you hit it too long. You didn't putt it too long.
Oh.
The reason for that is that the human being have a security. That means too far could hurt yourself. if you go down the stairs and you take one step and you fall down the stairs, that's no good. If you want to open up a door, you don't smack the hand into the door. You stop and take the grip in the hand. So the human being knows, if he knows the green speed and he takes the part of the farthest back he can, like his stomach, the stomach feeling, you know, and he hits it, he's always short. I'm probably maybe Jeff is one of the only teachers that says, short is good if you know why you're short.
Oh, if you know why you're short. Yeah, it was like...
Exactly, and you're short because your instincts will never let you hit the ball too far. But then people say, but I can't hold the putt anymore. So I said, wait. The third drill we do is we then stand 10, 50 meters away with the three balls again. We turn the head. And now you just have to take the ball a little further back as your instinct. And you will then get the perfect distance.
All right.
And now you are ready to go to the golf course and play golf.
Okay.
Because so, now you know green speed.
So now we're fighting our instinct on what the speed should be. I'm sorry. So when you're saying hit the ball farther than what your instinct or a little... Don't hit it. Putt the ball.
Take the putter further back. You take back the putter, the further the ball rolls. You see what I mean? So the first, like I said, first you do the green speed, and afterwards you look at a target 15 meters away. You take the club back, and you stroke a normal stroke, and you're always going to be short.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good because your instinct will never let you putt too far. So the third drill is you turn your head, and you try to take the putter a little further back as what your instincts, your stomach gives you, just a little further. And then you will get a perfect distance.
Wow.
And then you'll pass the hole. But now we're coming up to a thing where everybody makes mistakes. What is the perfect distance?
Right. What is the hole? That is the question. What is the perfect distance?
Yeah. Everybody says 8 feet, blah, blah. A lot of different. Every professional says different. I don't want to be rude to anybody, but I'm just saying is they don't know about distance control. Mm-hmm. Because if they knew, all of them will say the same. So why is the ball going into the hole? Because gravity takes over and pulls the ball into the hole. That's right, huh?
Mm-hmm.
If the ball gets to the hole, gravity takes over and pulls into the hole. So what happened is when the ball gets up to the hole, you have three different things. There's one ball we will say, this is a person who says, how fast do you want to go? And he says, I want to go zero revolution. When I get to the hole, I want to fall into the hole. Okay. Then the second guy comes up to the hole and he's past the hole. So he says, how fast do you want to run? And he says, I want to run with one revolution a second past the hole because the golfer I play with, he's so bad, so he wouldn't hold the next putt if I was further away. So he asked the guy that drops into the hole and says, could you live with one revolution? He said, yeah, I can live with one revolution. So those two have said the perfect speed by the hole is one revolution per second. So now the third guy comes up and he says, pass the hole. Because if there's stones or bad greens before the hole, he says, I want to run with four revolutions because then I stay straight if there's a little stone. And then the two other guys says, but now you want four. Could you live with three? And he said, yeah, I can live with three. And then they says, listen, the greens are very good. They're very good. So could we go together and say two revolution? And he says, okay, we're going to. So two revolution past the hole is a perfect green speed. And now I see a question mark on your side. If you drive with a car on an autobahn in Germany with 100 kilometer speed and you see three lanes, you can see three lanes. If you now drive with 220, you will see two lanes. And if you take a Ferrari and go 350 kilometer an hour, then we have one lane because the street gets smaller the faster we drive. Is that right?
I don't know. I've never driven at that speed.
If you see Formula One, they go around the corner and then you see the camera, how they speed up. And then you see how the road gets, it feels like the road gets smaller.
Right. Okay.
Tighter.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So that means if the ball gets to the hole with two revolution per second, the hole is 3.5 inches big. By three revolutions, it's 3 inches. by 4 revolution is 2.5, and by 9 revolution you have to hit the middle of the hole. So now it comes up. So if a person says you should putt the ball, like saying 30 centimeters past the hole, then you have to ask him, but what, by what green speed? Because by faster green speed, the ball will run further past the hole. And by slower green, the ball will run with 2 revolution a second speed at the hole will be shorter. So you can never say 30, 50. You have to actually say the speed, the ball, when it gets to the hole, pulls into the hole. So you need to get the right speed, not the distance past the hole. So you have a fast green, you will knock it. It will jump over the hole every time. Mm-hmm. Was that difficult?
It's so interesting to me. You're so much a putting zone Jeff Mangum disciple. I love it though. I've always loved Jeff's stuff.
You see what I mean? The people say, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
You see what I mean? The people say it should go like saying 8 inches or 20 inches past the hole. Mm-hmm. But we can't say that if we don't know the green speed. Because if the green is very fast, 2 revolution past the hole is maybe, I don't know, one, like a half a meter. But if the ball would touch the hole, the ball will still get pulled into the hole to gravity. And if we have very slow greens, 2 revolution, the speed at the hole would only be the half of that distance because the green speed is slower. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the point. We need to know what green speed it is, and then it's different distances past the hole to be able to hold it every time. Because the next point is so important. It's the only way to learn how to learn to read the greens is if you know with what speed the ball rolls the last meter before the head goes into the hole. Because that's where the gravity takes over and pulls the ball from right and left, depends of the break of the green. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what speed you want to putt it at the hole when you get it. And that's why the most people should concentrate about hitting the ball the same distance past the hole. Doesn't matter from what distance the putt. And they can do it with the Puttington concept of equilibrate themselves for the green speed.
Mm-hmm. Do you...
That's only the first part of the putting zone.
Oh, well, I know. There's many elements to it. And again, Jeff can get that, various...
How do you align? How is the stroke? And how do we find the target where we want to putt to? But the green speed is the most important. So if somebody says, Henrik, teach me something so I can be the best in the world, I would say green speed. Mm-hmm. Because if you know how to putt the ball the right distance, it would help you on your short game. It would help you on your long game because you have good rhythm, you have good feeling. And so it helps you in the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And when you're putting, like sometimes you're going to tell me I'm wrong on this, but I'll take steps to between the hole and my ball, and like, okay, so I'm 10 steps, 12 steps, 6 steps, whatever it is, just to get it in my head of like what the distance. But you're saying that's not necessary. Just look at the hole, right? And
just if people have a lot of problem, sometimes people have problem to hit the ball the right directions and all this, and I have one of my students we're working on now. He's looking at the hole all the time. He's not even not at the hole. He's looking at where do he want to putt it. Mm-hmm. He's not even looking at the ball anymore.
When he's putting, or when he's doing a warm up stroke or practice stroke.
I mean, even on the golf course.
Even when he's putting, course. He's looking at the whole time.
Yes, the all the time. The reason for that is he's looking at not at the hole. He's looking at he's looking where he wants to aim, where he's aiming. So that could be 15 centimeter left, and he then putts it there. He's looking to where he wants to putt the ball, mm-hmm. and he's not looking at the ball. What happened there is a lot of times, or even on the short one is great. You should try that on the short one. Because the point is, you really have to concentrate getting the right setup. So you're really aiming perfect and you have the right distance and you're feeling good over the ball. Then you look at the hole and you just putt it there. The advantage on that is, if you're looking at the putter, sometimes you open up, you close the putter because you get scared, because you're looking at the putter. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at the hole, you're just putting to the hole. It's like rolling the ball with a hand. You wouldn't look at your hand. If you want to roll the ball to the hole, you wouldn't look at your hand.
Absolutely.
You would just look where you want to roll it, and you will roll it. And you can do that with the putter also, with no problem.
You
should try at the beginning for the short ones.
Yeah. No, I love that idea, especially for the short ones, because those are the ones that make me they make me crazy. When you're looking at where you're going to putt the ball and you're on the green, do you look from multiple angles or do you just look from behind the ball?
That is the next one. This is the next one. That's where the putting zone goes into to the fall line.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one you want to read greens, you go on the fall line, and then if you have the fall line, then you know everything on the left side of the fall line goes to the right, and everything on the right side. No, sorry. So everything on the left side goes to the right, yes, and everything on the left side of the fall line goes to the left, and you know 90 degree to the fall line is the biggest break you can have. So when you want to read a green, you don't go to your ball because that's not important. You need to have information before. So that means you will try to find out where is the fall line. And the fall line is the point where the ball will roll straight up to the hole or straight down. So that's the fall line. So that's the first thing I do. This next thing I do is I go 90 degrees to the fall line and I try to see if I putt straight at the hole, how far will the ball go down to the right? And only 2 revolution past the fall line. And if I know that one, that point, you can put that exactly on the opposite side of the hole. And that's actually the point where you should aim with every putt. Doesn't matter from where you putt.
Fabulous.
So what you do then, when I do a putt, I go to the fall line first. Then I go 90 degrees to the fall line. I try to find that point where you want to putt it, and then I go to my ball and I dilute. Then I go between the point and my ball, and I then says, is this slope even or is there a little bump or less bump? So if there's a little bit of a higher green, then I put the point higher, and if it's like a little mound or it go down, then you put it closer, you know, and then I have a much better read where do you want to putt it. And then the next point is, if you don't have the perfect green speed, that means 2 revolution past the hole, it brings you nothing, because a spot where you want to putt, if you don't know with what speed you want to putt, it brings you nothing.
Uh-huh. Wow. I want to just end this call right now so I can go out and practice. Oh my God!
No, it's a great experience when you really start to understand that. And like I says, if you really go back to the other one, what Jeff did, because he told a lot of good things over there, and you will now much easier understand what he talks about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I try to cut it down to how to play it, you know, and he has so much more knowledge. So that means he explains it much more, not like a golf player, more like he's explaining it perfect, but it's not sometimes difficult for people to understand it.
Well, he's very technical, and sometimes.
But second time you listen to them, then you will understand it easy.
All right. So your recommendation is go back to the Jeff Mangum Putting Zone
exactly.
episodes of Golf Smarter and listen to them multiple times.
Exactly.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, that would help you a lot. Yeah.
Henrik, do you have a website where we can learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, I have a lot of websites. I have SFT Golf.
SFT
Golf. See it, feel it, trust it.
Okay. See you, feel, trust golf. It.
.com. DE for Germany.
.com, DE?
No, no, D. D, no, no, D. SFT Golf. .de, like DE for Germany, the German.
DE.
Yes.
Okay. SFTgolf.de. D is in David.
Yes.
E is in every. Okay.
And then we're also working on Interactive Golf School. It's golf247.de, but it's not finished yet.
Oh, okay. When will that be ready?
I think I need about 1,000 hours to finish it. but it's a lot of work because I'm using a lot of the stuff from Dr. Ralph Mann, Swing Like a Pro. He did a nice DVD many years ago on the golf swing.
Okay.
And I'm using all his knowledge because I'm a kind of teacher. I'm not saying I found out the greatest thing. I'm more like, and that's also why I listen to the podcast. So I'm more looking around where are specialists and how can I take them and put it into my game and my teaching. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to find the best ones. So even a lot of the guys on the podcast, I listen to them and I try to evaluating the what they're telling. And if I think some of the things what they're saying is great, I will use it. It's like more like a Chinese guy, you know. I'm taking the best parts and make them better.
Well, you know, it's that's exactly my point and my purpose with the podcast is I'm going to just find as many people as I can talk to and put it out there and let everyone decide for themselves: is this of value or is this guy not making any sense at all?
Yes, and that's what I tell you. That's what Dr. Ralph Mann taught me, and he's a biomechanic professor and did a lot of baseball, American football, swimming, and he's a coach of the United States track and field. And he says if you have a concept, idea how to teach something, don't tell it next day. Practice, because you have a laboratory. You have all the guys coming every day. So test it on them. Write it down. And after 3, 4, 5 weeks, then sit down and see, is this concept actually working? And if he says no, then you take it away and put it in the trash and you make a new concept. But the most people make mistakes. They come out and they have an idea in the middle of the night and next day they tell everybody about it. No, you test it on your humans, on your students, and you then find out, okay, it's a good idea. Now you can tell people about it.
Fabulous.
You see what I mean?
I do. And I love the idea of SFT golf. See it, feel it, touch it, right?
No, trust it.
Trust it. See it, feel it, trust it. Even better.
Yeah, that's a concept. What we do is when we do the full swing, you stand behind the ball and you try to see the shot shape. You see what you want to do with the shot, and then you take your grip, and then you do this the pre-shot routine, how you address the ball and you stand over the ball. And then you kind of feel what you already have seen. And now you turn your head to the target where you want to hit it and then forget everything and just hit the ball there. Okay. So that's trusted. So you see what you want to feel, you see what you want to do, you feel what you want to do, and then you just hit it there.
Got to trust it.
The worst thing that can happen, you make a bad shot.
Right.
Nothing worse than that.
Right, exactly. Nobody's going to get injured. So yeah, trusting it. Having confidence and trusting it is so huge in every single shot on golf. I've learned that over time, and it's sometimes difficult to do, but trusting it, having confidence in what you're about to do is just tantamount to all of it.
And also what happened is that's what the most amateurs make mistakes. They do everything right, and they then turn the head, and then they start to think about something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to just stop and go back and do the whole thing again. Don't just hit it, because 90% is not going to work. Or at least if you hit a bad shot, you have an excuse, and you're not allowed to have any excuse. Why did you hit a bad shot? But you're allowed to hit a bad shot. But don't have excuses why you hit bad shots.
Great. Henrik Jentsch, sftgolf.de. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. And introducing me to Dr. Ralph Mann, but also for your long time listening to Golf Smarter. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, before we talk about our weekly prize winner and next giveaway on the list, I want to share something with you that I'm sharing on social media, but not the full story. I just wanted to share it with you. This past weekend, I played with a couple of close friends and one of my friends' adult son. Let me qualify play, as I do air quotes, play. My friend Tom didn't actually play. He watched from the golf cart. You see, Tom was playing pickup football as a teenager and had an accident that left him wheelchair bound for the rest of his life. When he was young, he was active in all sports, including golf. Well, his accident was in 1971, and he hasn't been on a golf course since. Recently, he had surgery, and I promised him that when he recovered, we were going to go out and play 18 holes. You can imagine the way he looked at me when I said, we're going to go out and play golf. And he's like, what? Well, I said, look, we're just going to take your son, and he and I and you, we're going to go out and play 18, and you're going to be in the cart with us the entire time. Well, Peacock Gap Golf Course was very helpful and gracious to turn off the GPS so that we were able to bring the cart right up to the edge of the green so that Tom could be an active participant. He absolutely loved it and is eager to join us again. And to make it even more entertaining, our fourth player was my other buddy, Neil. Neil and I are very competitive with one another, not for anything, but we always seem to be tied going into the 18th hole. We're always one or two strokes apart, and it cracks us up, but it just keeps happening. Anyway, he had a one-stroke lead after 9, and then I tied it on 10, and we played stroke for stroke for stroke. And then I birdied 14 and 15, but then I bogeyed 18. Well, at the end, he shot a 39 on the back, but I shot a 37. But I had to give him a stroke for handicap, so we tied. It was a great round and a very satisfying day, to say the least. I just wanted to share that with you. Now, it's time to let you know that our next giveaway is going to be a brand new, customized to your specs, High Heat 257 fairway driver, or fairway metal, fairway wood, whatever, you know what I mean. To hear all about those new clubs, listen to our conversation with the creator, Dean Knuth, at knuthgolf.com. Dean was on in episode number 637 when Dean announced the existence of the 257 plus clubs. We met him last year when he introduced, or was it 2 years ago, when he introduced High Heat. Now the 257 plus are the new ones out. And they're actually really nice. I've pulled a couple clubs out of my bag and put his in because of it. Anyway, these clubs are now available for distribution, and I'm hoping that, I'm planning that he's going to be with us next episode to announce the winner and get an update. So enter to win a fairway medal for yourself. And to do so, please go to golfsmarter.com/giveaway and sign up before Sunday midnight Pacific time or 3 a.m. Eastern time. And remember, if you've already registered, then you are already eligible for the prize we're offering and every prize we're offering through the end of 2018. And if you've already won, that's okay, because you won't miss out, because you still are eligible to win another prize. Like the next one after this, not the next prize, but another big prize we're giving away is a Seymour putter. And we still have a lot more online lessons from our amazing stable of golf instructors. Registration, rules, upcoming previous prize, upcoming prizes, plus the winners are all there at golfsmarter.com/giveaway. And now, let's wish congratulations to Golf Smarter listener Alan Gorlick of Venice, Florida. Alan, you've just won your Plan to Better Golf. It's the leather cover and 5-pack from Golf Steady, which we heard about in our last episode with Ray Campbell. If you want to get one for yourself, if you're not Alan, you didn't win one, but this is something that you want to have for when you go play new courses or even your favorite course, make sure to use the exclusive Golf Smarter coupon code, which is Golf Smarter, and get the package, which is usually $99, but for Golf Smarter listeners, it's only $64.95. For more, go to golfsteady.com. And again, congratulations, Alan. Love to hear back from you to let us know how you like your prize. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, use @GolfSmarter on Twitter or Instagram, and see a picture of Tom and our foursome on Instagram. You can contribute to our Golf Smarter Facebook page, or just write to me directly by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.